Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, episode number 6. Reach or Miss listeners, I'm very excited to introduce my guest today, Guy Kawasaki. Guy, what a pleasure and an honor to have you here with us today. Wow.
You flatter me too much. It's my pleasure and honor.
Thank you so much. Guy Kawasaki is the chief evangelist of Canva, an online graphic design tool. He is a brand ambassador for Mercedes-Benz and an executive fellow of the Haas School of Business, UC Berkeley. He was the chief evangelist of Apple and a trustee of the Mickey Media Foundation. He is also the author of The Art of the Start 2.0, The Art of Social Media, Enchantment, and 9 other books. Kawasaki has a BA from Stanford University and an MBA from UCLA, as well as an honorary doctorate from Babson College. Guy, I just shared your bio and talked about what you did until now. Can you please share with us, what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Sure. So right now I have 3 positions. I am the chief evangelist of Canva. Canva is an online graphics design service out of Sydney, Australia. I'm also a Mercedes-Benz brand ambassador. And finally, I am an executive fellow of the Haas School of Business of UC Berkeley. So those are the 3 hats that I wear.
And what are you most passionate about? Either on all of them or...
On both 3. Probably I'm most passionate about surfing.
Ah, so this is very important. It is an important detail we should know about you.
Yes, you should. Is there surfing in Israel?
Yes, there is surfing in Israel, although when people really want to surf, they go to Australia.
Yeah, sure.
But
sure.
There is. And what are you most passionate about professionally?
Professionally, Canva. Canva, you know, democratizing design, trying to enable everyone to make great designs very easily.
It's interesting because you've done so much, and I wonder, how would you describe your story? Where did it start? How do you talk about how your career started? We know the stories, but how would you describe it?
Well, believe it or not, my career really started in the jewelry business, not a tech business. I started a part-time job when I was at UCLA getting an MBA. So I worked for a jewelry manufacturer in downtown LA. It was a small manufacturing company owned by a Jewish family. And that's where I learned sales and marketing. So I have a deep understanding and love of many things Jewish.
This is news. I didn't know that. how long have you been doing sales and marketing in the traditional world, which I started in, of course, as well?
Oh, in traditional world, you mean jewelry?
Jewelries.
Yeah, so I was in the jewelry business for about 6 years.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And the next step was really Macintosh, or was there anything between?
Well, I was in the jewelry business, and then I got an Apple II, and I fell in love with computers. So my college roommate eventually hired me into Apple. I worked for a small software company for about 6 months, but that software company was acquired, and the acquirer wanted me to move to Atlanta, and I didn't want to move to Atlanta. So that's when I made the switch from a small software company to Apple as a software evangelist.
Wow. And have you been evangelist during all your stages since then? Or?
Yeah, so I went to work for Apple as an evangelist. I left to start a company. I returned to Apple as Apple's chief evangelist. I left to start a company. And basically, I've been at Apple twice, and I've been an entrepreneur, speaker, and author since then.
And who would you consider as your customers? You know, our podcast is all about customer focus and how entrepreneurs and startup yes. founders should find their biggest potential market. And I'm wondering, you're doing so many things today. Who would you consider as your targeted audience, your customers today?
My target audience for Canva is anyone who wants to make a design, basically. So this means essentially anybody in the world. We're trying to democratize design so that anybody can create beautiful designs. And that's a few billion people. I hope people realize how necessary it is to use design as an element of your communications, because it helps you stand out.
Are you at Canva really also focusing in consumers, in the end consumers, or only professionally?
Oh, no, anyone. I mean, if you are making a flyer for your
wedding
kid's soccer team, you know, that's not a professional use per se, but you want to have a great flyer, sure. And anybody who posts on social media, just as a person as opposed to a company, same thing.
Did you have any process trying to decide we are going to focus on anybody in the world, we are going to focus consumers and customers, or you are just, you know, that's what you think all of you to do?
No, I think, you know, from the very start, the goal was to empower people. Just like when I went to work for Apple, the goal for Apple was not to make a business computer. It was to make a computer that anyone could use. And the same thing is true with Canva. It's not a tool that we make only for graphics professionals. It's for anyone to make graphics.
Very interesting. Please tell us about your concept or beliefs on the way a startup or entrepreneurial business should approach its customer. And give our listeners your best advice for their customers' approach and focus.
Well, I think the crux of my advice to entrepreneurs is to, believe it or not, and this might not be a very common thing, it's to make the product that you would like to use yourself, and then hope that there are other people like you. Because I've noticed that people who do that are people like Apple and Yahoo and Google. These are all companies that they weren't marketing driven per se, but they built something that they would like to use, and come to find out many other people like them too. And this is not typical advice. Typical advice is you listen to your customer, or you do something for the customer that you have in mind. And I'm not saying that at all, actually.
Yeah, it's really unique. I'm wondering, I think that if Steve Jobs would have prepared something or create something that only he can use, it was much complicated.
Well, I think Steve and Woz, when they first created Apple, they created the Apple One, and that was something that, you know, they and other hobbyists would want to use. And luckily, there were more than just the two of them.
Yeah, luckily.
Again, I don't think this is common advice.
No.
It might not even be good advice. But it's the advice I believe in.
And that's the way you look at things? You always...
Yes. I think that, you know, if you create something for a theoretical market, it's just not as passionate and not as good. What can I say?
This is interesting. I like it. What is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? Do you remember any one of that? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most? Can you tell us about that? Do you remember any failure with customers?
Well, you know, with Apple, when we introduced Macintosh, it went through a very rough period. And that was because of a lack of software. It was because of inertia with the MS-DOS platform. It was because there wasn't a killer app initially. So you could make the case that, you know, something that is I'm associated with as a great success, you could also look at it as a failure. It's just, it depends on how you want to look at it.
And did you experience during your whole time as entrepreneur, and you are an entrepreneur, did you yourself experience such a failure with customers, something that you felt that you are approaching them wrong or doing something wrong?
Well, wrong is too strong a word, I think, for people to use. Very few people, very few companies get it exactly right at the start.
Of course.
So my advice is not so much that you try to get it perfect as much as you get it out fast. And then it's less important where you start as much as how fast you can change from where you start. So if you have a pretty good prototype and you can revise it very quickly, I think that is the best case. The perfect prototype is just a theoretical thing that no one ever achieves, and a horrible prototype where you cannot revise it is also a bad thing. The best case is a pretty good prototype and you can change it fast.
And do you remember any point of success where you really felt that you are succeeding to talk to the right customers, bring them something they need?
Yeah. Well, listen, I started at Canva when Canva was 2 years old, but I think that from the get-go, they had a very good prototype. They truly understood that people wanted to create graphics who could not create graphics by themselves. And Canva has been growing like a rocket. So, and I'm not taking credit for that. I think the credit belongs to the founders of Canva, Melanie Perkins and Cliff Olbrecht. But they hit it pretty good right out the gate. And this is actually called Guy's Golden Touch. So Guy's Golden Touch is not whatever I touch turns to gold. Guy's Golden Touch is whatever is gold Guy touches.
So this is a great advice. However, not all of us know to see it on time. So,
well, I have learned in my career that it's better to be lucky than smart.
I really wanted to ask you about that because you probably get a lot of offers to be part of something new and to help new entrepreneurs or young entrepreneurs. What made you really decide that from everything around you are going to focus on Canva?
Well, I work with a person named Peg Fitzpatrick, and she does a lot of my work with social media. And she told me that Canva was just fantastic. And you know, she introduced me to Canva. So if it wasn't for her, I don't know what I would have done. But it was pretty obvious, I think.
I think you're also saying something about listen to those people that you really trust professionally.
Yes. Yes. I mean, one should not be proud. You should always listen to other people.
I remember you said so in few of your lectures or your speaking opportunities. You always repeat that. I like that. So I guess we can tell by now that you are most passionate about Canva. And Canva has some minor or not minor competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something unique about it? Why should any one of us really use that?
Well, you should really use Canva because it is fast and it is free and it is really good. Most times you can pick two of those three, but in this case, you can have all three, and that is highly unusual. So there are products that are more powerful, have more features, but they're not fast and they're not free. So, this is the holy grail. That's why Canva is so successful.
It is. I think it's a very big, unique point of sale.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. So, well, you know, you didn't really want to interview me to sell people on Canva, but Canva has some very good lessons. I've never been affiliated with a product that was so good right out the gate and then evolve so quickly. I would say that Canva evolved more quickly than Macintosh.
Wow, this is interesting. And I didn't look at Canva until I heard it from you last year. So I can't say about the involvement, but in Macintosh we all can read the history. Beside Canva, can you recommend the yes. best, most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer focus, marketing, or sales that you really think?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. So I think that in general, social media is a gift to entrepreneurs. But specifically within social media, Facebook. You know, Facebook is so fantastic that you can target a specific age group, gender, in a specific geography with specific interests. And I don't know any other way I could say, let's say I'm a real estate broker and I live in Santa Cruz and I have a listing, you know, a new beach house coming on the market. I don't know any other way you can say, all right, so I want people who are, let's say, 30 to 50 years old, female, living in Santa Cruz or Silicon Valley. I don't know how else you could target that so easily and so inexpensively. So to me, you know, you just need Canva and Facebook, basically.
And this comes from the Twitter king. Do you yourself use Facebook a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I use it a lot. And I think it is the best marketing thing that exists. The second social media platform I would highly recommend is LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is different because LinkedIn is for your personal branding and your personal awareness, your personal professional development. It doesn't have the advertising targeting that Facebook does. But as a person, I think if you don't participate on LinkedIn, you don't exist in the world.
I do agree with that. So what about Twitter? Is it really dying?
I really don't know if Twitter is dying. I don't pay that much attention to it anymore.
Oh.
I have noticed that between LinkedIn and Facebook, that's just about 80% of my social media activity. You know, LinkedIn without the threading and without some of the advanced features, it just doesn't work for me. So I still tweet because I have technology that enables me to write once and deploy many. But if I had to separately create posts for Twitter, I would hardly ever tweet. I wish the American president would understand this too.
I knew we will come to the American presidents in this conversation. You're saying I'm flattering too much, but you're really considered as one of the gurus. However, is there any service provider like mentor, consultant, advertiser, someone that had a major impact on your career or your customer success and can be helped to others, or you can just tell us about?
Well, certainly if you went all the way back in my career, and I really do mean this, that I learned how to sell and market in the jewelry business, not in the tech business.
Wow.
And so that came before tech for me. And so I think everybody, well, at the end of the day, there's only two real functions in business. And that is somebody has to make it and somebody has to sell it. Mm-hmm. So if you're not an engineer, you better learn how to sell. And if you can't sell, you better be an engineer because everything else is bullshit. So, and I learned to sell. I'm not an engineer. I learned to sell in the jewelry business. And I learned about trust because the jewelry business is fundamentally about trust.
I think every sale is about trust.
Well, yeah. In that sense, I know what you're saying. But in the jewelry business, you know, you have to trust the person that on memo you're giving millions, if, you know, well, not always millions, but tens of thousands of dollars of diamonds. And I really learned about trust in selling in the jewelry business, really. It was a fundamental factor in my success in life, the jewelry business.
It's a beautiful story. I didn't know that. Are they still selling this family
business?
No.
And not anymore. And, you know, our customers were Tiffany and Bailey Banks and Biddle and Mayer's Jewelers in Florida, very high end. And we did a lot, you know, we bought a lot of loose goods out of Israel.
This is my hometown. So
it is, yeah. Yes, yes.
So before we say goodbye, is there, and we talk highly professional, but do you have any last piece of guidance to our listeners?
Sure. So I think the best piece of advice I could give about customers is you should never ask people to do something that you would not do. So this applies to your customers, to your employees, to your vendors, to everybody. You know, if you won't do something, don't ask people to do the same thing. Of course, this assumes you're not a psychopath, but assuming you're not a psychopath, I think this is a very good moral compass for life.
I think so, too. I take it.
Yeah.
And I really want to thank you. I had a lovely time with you, and I'm sure our listeners as well.
Thank you.
And Reach or Miss listeners, you are more than welcome to leave us responses to this interview and any questions you want to ask Guy, and we will pass it to him. So thank you, and thank you, Guy, so much.
Okay, well, as we say in Japanese, Zeigesund.
This is the Yiddish one. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.